Good afternoon and welcome to High Point Bible Study. Let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to talk today about another relationship key, and that's getting a handle on anger. Father, thank you so much that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And sometimes we wonder why you made us the way you did. And it just reminds us of that thing called free will, that sometimes we're in a jam and we realize we're the ones that got us there. And so, Father, help us to really get a handle on this thing today. A real naturally occurring thing that oftentimes gets us into serious trouble. And we thank you for the food, thank you for the fellowship around the tables, and pray that you'll open our hearts and minds to what you have for us today. In Christ's name I pray, amen. If you're going to look up the scripture, I think it's printed in your notebook, but it's Ephesians 4, and we're going to talk about getting a handle on your anger. In your anger, don't sin. Be angry and sin not. We're going to see a little video about what people think about anger, all right? And then we'll launch into our Bible study. So let's roll tape.
Tell me one thing that makes you angry.
Just not being on time.
Tell me one thing that makes you mad.
When people lie.
People lie to me.
When my family comes in my bedroom without knocking on the door.
One thing that makes me upset is when people say they're gonna call me and they don't call me back.
I get upset sometimes when people lie to me, they're not honest to me.
It's the little things.
Nagging. It's something that just drives me crazy, you know.
Somebody says they're gonna call you, you know, if they don't call, that makes me angry.
Telling me once, fine, but on and on and on, it's like, I don't know. Kind of reminds me of my mother when I was a child, I guess.
What makes me angry is when people judge people by the way they look instead of getting to know the true person that they really are.
People who don't hear themselves when they're speaking and aren't careful about what they say, aren't careful of their language.
People that get in front of you when you're driving down the road and all of a sudden go really slow.
Oh shit, get out of my way!
People who aren't grateful for what they have. People who aren't grateful to their friends or family members.
You should get out of my way.
Let's see. When my girlfriend keeps calling me nonstop on a afternoon when she knows I'm golfing.
People who think it's okay to vent their own anger because it makes them feel good. It doesn't make other people feel good, and it's usually the beginning of cycles of anger.
I got stabbed in the back. I'm a close friend of mine. It happened recently, and, you know, it's kind of frustrating, you know, because you don't know the whole details about it and stuff like that. But when you hear from other people, so that's one thing that, you know.
How do you deal with it when something like that happens?
Well, there's only really one way to deal with it, and that's just to forget about it and let bygones be bygones if, you know, it doesn't happen all the time.
Laugh it off at first.
And then what?
Then I think about it, and then I get upset. I might curse a little bit.
You don't go punching people out?
No, I'm not violent.
I keep it inside for most of the time.
I go somewhere where nobody's looking and slam things against the wall.
I try not to. I try to avoid situations where I'm dealing with people that I get lied to.
I've hit a few things before. kicked the door too, you know, things like that.
First, you have to acknowledge the anger, realize, well, hey, you know, I'm really upset and I'm angry, so I'm not going to allow this to build up.
My way of dealing with anger is actually through my car, is I just get in the car and drive, and it just seems to be the most soothing thing in the world to me.
It might be, if it's somebody that made me angry, it might mean confronting them.
I speak my mind, you know, I'm a little bit more open when it's someone like a friend or a relative, you know, I let them know how I feel. You know, as opposed to someone that I don't know, I just pretty much, you know, just stay to myself and try to keep out of their way.
It's a lot better to actually take care of the problem as soon as possible.
Because when you let it fester, you can't do anything else, at least not well or not with your full attention.
There's nothing that I allow to fester or stay within me because it could result into bitterness and hostility and a lot of other negative emotions.
Our focus passage today is Ephesians 4:26. Be angry, and do not sin. So let's kind of put this into context. First of all, getting a handle on anger is to acknowledge the reality of anger. A lot of Christians, kind of in the back of their mind, think anger is a sin. And since anger is a sin and I don't want to sin, I don't have the right to be angry. And so they're in this constant state of denial when in fact anger is a God-given emotion. It's like sadness or grief or happiness. It just kind of comes over you. It's almost a chemical reaction to outside stimuli. Anger is a part of life. He says, in your anger. He just assumes you're going to be angry. Do you realize that anger is used 455 times in the Old Testament, and 375 of those times refers to God? God was angry? You go, well, that's Old Testament. That, you know, that's somehow that's Old Testament. What about New Testament? Okay. In Mark, when Jesus is like cleansing, or when the Pharisees are reacting to Jesus, it says he was angry when he saw their reaction to this paralyzed man. So we see it, Old Testament, New Testament. If God can get angry, then you have permission to get angry. The whole thing is, how are you going to handle that? Unfortunately, it's been well said, when a person's temper gets the best of them, it reveals the worst of them. Tim LaHaye estimates that 85 to 90% of family disruptions are caused by unrestrained anger. 85 to 90%, Gary Smalley calls unrestrained anger the major destroyer of relationships. The AAA lists the number two cause of auto accidents, driving while angry. Gary Smalley, in his book Love is a Decision, said there are physical symptoms of unrestrained anger: early morning awakening, depression, tension, grinding teeth, an unexpected sense of dread, jumpiness, increased irritability. Over the long term, anger that's not dealt with properly can cause, and this is Smalley's words, clinical depression, colitis, bleeding ulcers, anxiety attacks, lowered resistance to colds and flu, heart and respiratory failure. It is fatal, folks, not only to yourself, but to relationships. If you find yourself getting angry and not being able to control it, you have a really hard time developing long-term friendships, long-term relationships, and it can actually affect your career. Acknowledge the reality. I am going to get angry. That's just a part of where I am. And then it's helpful, I think, to identify the causes. What are your triggers? What punches your buttons? I knew from last Wednesday that I was going to be speaking on anger today. So, you know, it's on my radar. I'm looking for illustrations. And twice this week, I realized I'm really getting angry. I'm really getting upset. I mean, it was just kind of coming over me, and my face was flushed. My voice goes up an octave, and I realized this is right. I mean, I'm looking at it from a preacher standpoint, a clinical standpoint, but I couldn't deny it. Three basic reasons that you get angry. Number one's frustration. And in the first case, it was a frustrating thing with me. I was trying to explain a church program that I had a hard time getting my mind around, and I kept getting this, well, I don't understand. Well, I don't understand. I kept trying to throw statistics out, throw things out, throw data points. I don't understand. And I finally said, and I thought I said it in a very factual tone of voice, I said, if you don't understand that, there's really nothing else I can say that's going to help you understand it any better. That wasn't the right thing to say, evidently. They got upset. I got upset. There was a glacial climate change that came over that meeting. Frustration. Frustration. When your expectation exceeds your reality, you're going to have that intermittent thing filled with frustration. That can come about in driving. On the video, it talked about road rage and when people do things that you don't expect on the road, or they slow down in front of you, or they speed up behind you. Frustration with your kids. And, you know, you raise your voice and you want to punish them and you send them to a timeout. And then later on you beat yourself up and you're going, you know, I way overreacted in that. Frustration. They didn't do what I expected them to do. Identify the trigger. Understand that when you get into a frustrating situation, anger often can be the result. And you've got to anticipate that and figure out in advance, how am I going to handle that? A second reason for anger is hurt. Hurt. When someone takes advantage of you, someone says something unkind toward you, someone takes an action that you see as a threat, basically the Random House Dictionary defines anger as a strong feeling of displeasure and belligerence aroused by a real or supposed wrong. That's the hurt compound. You feel like someone is hurting you or someone close to you or something close to you, you respond with anger. The third thing is fear. Fear. The Bible says God's not given us a spirit of fear, but fear can certainly provoke anger. And probably the second time I really got angry this week, I knew in myself, I'm not sure how visible it was on the outside, but I knew in myself, I'm really getting upset about this, was about a business deal that I felt like had a tremendous downside. And when I look back at it, I was reacting out of fear. I felt like someone was taking us over a cliff, so to speak, and I was reacting out of fear, and my reaction was anger. Fear, hurt, frustration, all of those things are trigger points. And sometimes they really make you say things, do things that later on you regret. My son, after he got his driver's license, that's always my older son. That's always an interesting thing for a dad is, you know, you turn this guy loose with a lethal killing machine, you know. And I put some pretty tight controls at first on it. And you know, he had to be home by a certain time, okay? So the time came and the time went. And this is before cell phones, you know, and so I didn't expect to call me on a cell phone or anything. But I thought, well, you know, if he's at his girlfriend's house, they've got a phone, we've got a phone. 10 minutes late, 15 minutes late, hour late, hour and 15 minutes late. And gradually the fear morphed into anger. He's disrespecting me. He's not acknowledging that I'm the head of this household. I'm his dad. I told him to, you know. And so by the time he got home, drove in, you know, the car was not mangled. He was not mangled. In fact, he got out with a big smile on his face and he had no idea I was waiting inside the door for him. And he got in and I just unloaded. What, you know, my fear morphed into anger. And I said some things that I later had to go back and just simply apologize and explain to him, Adam, I love you so much. And my mind just went to all the what ifs. You're lying dead on the side of the road. You know, you and your girlfriend had gotten hurt. Just all the things when you didn't do what I expected you to do. Frustration, hurt, fear. If you can, understand that these are going to be a part of your life. They shouldn't be all that unexpected. People are going to hurt you. There are going to be things you're afraid of. There are going to be times when you're really disappointed and frustrated in a situation. And if you can just say, I know it's going to come. I know it's going to provoke an anger issue. How am I going to handle that anger? So the first thing is just to recognize anger's a part of life. It shouldn't surprise you. The sun's going to come up in the east. You are going to get angry. Being angry in and of itself is not a sin. Name it and claim it. I am David, and I am an angry person on occasion, okay? The second thing, then, is to anticipate the results. Paul writes, be angry, but do not sin. So when does being angry morph into sin? When does it become a sin? Well, there's several ways. H. Norman Wright, in a lecture on the subject, said there are basically four ways of handling anger. Four ways of handling anger. Some of these result in sin and some of them don't. One is to repress anger. You basically, denial is not just a river in Egypt. You just say that I am a Christian, therefore I can't get angry, therefore this is not anger. And you repress it. Norman Wright said, denying that you ever get angry is like setting a wastebasket on fire, putting it in the closet under your clothes, and closing the door and thinking that everything's okay. You're basically getting into long-term problems. Talked to a guy the other day that had a panic attack. No other way around it. He's driving down the freeway, and he all of a sudden is afraid of driving. He gets over in a parking lot, and he calls his wife, and he goes, I don't think I can go to this meeting. I've never had this before. She said, well, you just need to come home. He said, I don't know that I can come home. I'm scared to death of getting back in the car and driving. I mean, he had a full-blown anxiety attack seemingly out of nowhere. So he goes to his internist, and he goes through this whole thing, and the internist is a Christian, and the internist said, you know, what's going on in your life? And he said, you know, not so much. He said, I don't feel like I have anything really causing pressure. He goes, well, tell me about the last 90 days. Well, the last 90 days were a real trip. The last 90 days, there had been this and this and this and this and pressure, and he had put it off, denied it, and then on bang, it all the bill came due. So understand, you can repress your anger and just act like you're not angry and that person's not hurting me and I don't care, but the bill will come due. You can either deal with it in cash or you can deal with it in credit. But credit has compounding interest. So you can repress it. You can just deny that you ever get angry. I just never get angry. Secondly, you can suppress it. Suppress it. That is, you can admit to yourself, I'm angry. But you're going to tamp down the visible expression of that anger. So the boss yells at the employee yells at the wife yells at the kid, and the kid goes and kicks the dog. You know, no one's angry, but they're going on and putting off the expression of that anger. They're going to suppress it. You can express it, and that was kind of a big in vogue several years ago, that if you're angry, you need to let everybody in the room know you're angry. You just scream or yell or like the hairy guy on the video, go pound something against the wall. Just let everybody know you're angry. And that's really therapeutic. Well, maybe for you, but not so much for the folks around you. Not so much for your family. Not so much for your colleagues. You know, expressing it may be personally therapeutic, but it's not. It's pretty obnoxious to the people around you. The lady went to the doctor and the doctor said, ma'am, this is a little rare, but have you been bitten by a wild animal? And she said, you know, I really was. He goes, oh, you got full-blown rabies, and it's going to kill you unless we treat it. And he said, I would immediately recommend a protocol of shots and, you know, the whole deal. And she goes, well, could we put it off a couple of days? He goes, why would you want to do that with a life-threatening disease? She says, I want to make a list of the people I want to bite. So, you know, you can just express your anger. You can just express your anger. Let everybody around you know. I think the Christian way of doing it would be to confess it and possess it. Confess it. When I was being frustrated with this individual because they just didn't get it, and I could tell they were frustrated with me, I had to admit to myself, you know, this is making me angry. This is my anger. This is not their problem. I have to name it and claim it. I have to confess it and possess it. I admit it's my anger. It's nobody else's fault. It's like a dashboard, a red light coming on right in front of me. And I realize, okay, if I don't handle this right, it's not going to get better. It's going to be worse, and I can really hurt my fellowship with this person and my ongoing relationship. So it's helpful, James Dobson says, to express how you feel in a constructive way. Rather than just blasting the person that you feel like has hurt you or frustrated you, rather than blasting them, just try to get out of it gracefully and then go talk to God about it. Write it down on a piece of paper. Go to a trusted friend and say, you know, I had a situation today and I really, really got mad. And I just want to kind of debrief. And many times just talking it out, expressing it in a calm, collected way is really therapy. Take time to channel your negative emotion into a constructive pursuit. Nehemiah 5 and chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, Nehemiah said, I was very angry. He had a lot of detractors. He said, so I pondered them in my mind and then went to the nobles and the officials and came up with a plan. Okay? So try to channel the energy. It's been helpful for me when I'm really angry to kind of process it in my mind and, you know, go running, go mow the lawn, go play tennis, do something that is constructive in nature and just kind of bleed off those negative emotions. And then try to implement a course of action that's going to result in relationships being strengthened and an injustice being righted or good being accomplished. Try to implement a course of action that's going to be constructive rather than destructive. There's an old story about a guy that goes into a diner with a Mack truck cap on, skinny little guy, and there was a motorcycle gang that this was their hangout, and he didn't know it. So they start with verbal abuse, and then they're pushing him around, and then they finally kicked him out of the diner. And they're all laughing and hee-hawing, and they said, you know, truckers are supposed to be so tough. That guy was such a wimp. He didn't even push back. The owner of the diner's looking out the window, and he goes, yeah, and his eyesight isn't very good either. He said, there's an 18-wheeler right now running over 16 Harleys. So try to make it constructive rather than destructive, okay? Many times we want to get back. They hurt us. We want to hurt them. There's some frustrating thing on their part. We want to frustrate someone else. Try to make it, let me list those again, a course of action that will result in a relationship being strengthened, an injustice being righted, or a good being accomplished. Proverbs 14:29 said, a quick-tempered man displays folly. Proverbs 15:18 said, a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. Proverbs 16:32 says, better a patient man than a warrior. A man who controls his temper is better than one who takes a city. That's pretty strong language. Proverbs 19:11, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It's his glory to overlook an offense. It's his glory to overlook an offense. What does Jesus say about righting wrongs? He said, if your brother offends you, go to him. Yeah, it seems like it ought to be the other way around. If he offends you, he ought to be the one to make it right. But the stronger the person, the more spiritually mature the person tries to right the wrong. Proverbs 29:11, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. James says the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. I have to understand that when I'm angry, I'm not getting closer to God, not getting closer to my fellow person, not making a relationship stronger. It can be a destructive emotion. So anticipate the results. Don't set the waste can on fire, and then apply the remedies. Notice he says some very specific things. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't give the devil an opportunity. In verses 26, the last of 26 and 27. The old joke is, you know, my wife and I decided early in our marriage we would never let the sun go down on our anger. So we learned that we had to travel west a lot. That is a good goal, okay? As Pirates, Johnny Depp and the Pirates, he goes, it's more of a guideline than it is a rule, all right? There are times in my marriage that we have not gotten things settled before we went to sleep, or we'd have been up all night long. We just had to understand we're going to disagree, but we've got to get some sleep. Okay, so not letting the sun go down on your anger is a principle that, generally speaking, things don't get better over time. They get worse. You need to keep short accounts. You don't need to build up all kinds of supposed offenses against a person and then let the bill come due at the end of the month. Deal with them on short accounts. So don't let the sun go down in your anger, and don't give the devil an opportunity. There's a kind of a foreshadowing there, a real warning. Someone said, when you get mad at your spouse, you're giving the devil a place. And his place is right on your shoulder, whispering in your ear how unworthy that person is of you, how much they've let you down, how they have wronged you, and how you could actually do better with someone else. That's what the devil's whispering. Your anger gives him a place to whisper lies in your ear. The devil is called the father of lies. He is known for deceit. And so your anger actually gives the devil an opportunity to pour untruth into your life. So, number one, keep short accounts and don't give the devil a place. The second thing is don't bring down. Don't bring down. He says in verse 29, no foul language is to come from your mouth. Instead, build up, but only what's good for building up someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear. So understand that oftentimes in anger, words are the thing that lingers on way after the incident. Remember when you said, or you always said, or you never give me any credit, or I'm always wrong, or I'm, you know, we say these grandiose statements. Someone said, make your words sweet, because oftentimes you have to eat them. So don't bring down. In your anger, you can temper the consequences of anger by watching your words. It's better to just be quiet. You know, a soft answer turns away wrath. So he says, don't let the foul language come out of your mouth, but try to use words that are good for building up someone in need and give grace to those who hear it. Judgment is giving someone what they deserve. Mercy is not giving them what they deserve. But grace goes beyond mercy in that you give them something they don't deserve. So he says, let your words give grace to that person. Oftentimes anger comes out of a supposed wrong that many times comes out of a misunderstanding. It can be very, very helpful, especially in marriage, when you feel like someone has wronged you, to simply, instead of coming back with an accusation, to come back with a question. Honey, what I'm hearing, you know, is this really what you're saying to me? Do you believe this about me? And you know what will often happen is they go, no, that's not what I mean. I don't believe that about you. I'm not assassinating your character, so to speak. So don't bring down. Try to build up. Secondly, don't act in the flesh. Someone said, you need the Holy Spirit for peace. You can quarrel in the flesh all day long. You don't need the Holy Spirit to quarrel. You don't need God to be mad. You can do that all by your own. So he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Instead, trust God's Spirit. He said, you were sealed by Him for the day of redemption in verse 30. So don't grieve the Holy Spirit. We have to understand that our anger is not a private playground. Our anger has spiritual consequences. Again, the anger of man doesn't achieve the righteousness of God. So I think very much implicit in this verse is when we let our anger run wild and we think, I deserve to say this. I've been wanting to say this for a long time. I want to get this off my chest. You're actually grieving the Holy Spirit. You're actually... And, you know, we do it a lot more than we admit that we do. I was talking to a guy, a good friend of mine, actually, and he was trying to learn this gospel presentation. So he's driving home. He's in Oklahoma City. He's driving home on I-35, and he's taping this gospel presentation. You know, God loves you, and for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And he said, you know, when I got home, I remembered that the traffic was real bad, but when I played my tape back, it went, for God so loved the world that He gave His only... Get out of my way, you turkey! Oh, that whosoever believes in Him. He said, I had no idea I said that until I listened to the tape. And so oftentimes anger just promotes this outburst. And once it's out, it's like the toothpaste out of the tube. It's very, very difficult to get back. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. The last thing is don't let anger build. I think this ties back to don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, anger is not going to get better by itself. It's just going to build. And he uses some interesting words here. He said all bitterness, anger, wrath, shouting, slander must be removed from you along with all malice. Do you see the progression of anger here? One speaker said it's like putting on a pot of water on a flame. He said, not to draw too strong a line on here of saying each of these, you know, Paul wrote this with the intent, you know, that was the word model he used. But I think there's some truth here. He said bitterness is like that pot just sitting there. There's no visible heat. It's just when you put it on the flame, the bitterness, it just sits in your soul and it just builds over time. And there's really no outward expression of it, but you're just really resenting the frustration and the hurt and the fear that you feel in this relationship. But he said, if you leave the pot of water on the flame, the bitterness is going to morph into anger. Anger. And that's when it begins to simmer. Maybe steam comes up and you begin to see that pot of water's changing. It's not just simmering bitterness. Now there's real anger. And then the third word is wrath. Wrath. Now the water's starting to boil a little bit. You're seeing bubbles start to come up there. It's a higher degree. The fourth thing is shouting. Shouting. When your tone rises and your volume goes large, you're already in the fourth level of rage. You've gone from bitterness to anger to wrath to shouting. And then it goes down to character assassination, slander. Slander. Slander is when you start making accusations against someone's character. That's when you yell at your wife that you never loved me. That's when you yell at your kid and say, you're stupid, why can't you get that homework done? That's slander. That's attacking their character. And then the last stage, and by the way, when you get to slander, you're just one step away from malice. And malice is the attempt to do bodily harm to a person. That's where it shifts from verbal abuse to physical abuse. So what's the answer? What's the answer? I think understanding anger is helpful. I think having some constructive ways of dealing with anger. But at the end of the day, the guy, the little teenage guy on the video, he says, you know, sometimes you just got to laugh it off. Sometimes you've just got to make a conscious decision. I got to drop this. This is continuing to escalate, and it takes two people to argue. I've got to forgive, and that's what Paul said. He says, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, not because they forgave you, but even as Christ forgave you. That's our standard for forgiveness. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you know how we're put together. You made us, and you know we've got anger problems. All of us do. None of us are exempt. And so, Father, help us to get a handle on it and dealing with our kids and dealing with our families and dealing with our coworkers and our friends. Help us understand that we've got to have the Holy Spirit and His power every day of our life, or we're going to ruin our relationships just simply through anger. Father, I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.